You have anything to be thankful for? There is one verse of scripture we're going to look at this morning. It's a powerful verse. It's a very familiar verse. We've all heard it many times before, but as I read it recently, it was as if I had discovered something in it I had not seen before. I was seeing something deeper. I was seeing something that had been hidden like a mystery until a revelation brought it to the surface. And this one verse of scripture holds a golden nugget. And this single revelation I'm going to talk about this morning will upgrade every single aspect of our lives. Are you ready for every area of your life to be lifted and elevated to the highest possible level? Then this is the verse. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. Now we all know that's the faith chapter. And it's verse 6. And it reads like this: "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is." Stop there just a moment. If you come to God, you've got to believe he exists. I mean, you really are going nowhere. How many in the room, no trick question, I'm asking for a show of hands. How many of you believe in God? That he is real and that he does exist. Well, we're comfortable with that. I will not go to battle with anybody in here today over the question, do you believe God exists? I mean, I think 101, we've got that one down. But then the verse goes on, in addition to those of us who come to God, we must believe that he exists. There is a second expectation, and this is the revelation this morning. We also must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He who comes to God, the original version says, he who approaches God, he who draws close to God. And then it refers to those who diligently seek. In the Greek, that commandment there, diligently seek, means to require as a vital necessity. We diligently seek God, and we seek him because it's vitally necessary for our life to be a seeker after God. In other words, anything that's a vital necessity to you is not an option. Now, I've always had the practice of early in the morning. It doesn't take me long. Don't bind me to an hour every morning. Now, that works for a lot of people. It might work for you. But it don't take me that long. To get an early morning, fresh every day, connection with God. And the first thing I say is, oh Lord, thank you that my heart's still beating and I live through another night and I'm seeing another morning being born. You're so good to me, and I just want to take a minute to acknowledge your goodness in my life. And I want you to know I'm seeking you today. I want your best. I want your will. And if you can work with me in any way, then I'm yours today. But it's the importance of being a diligent seeker after God. There are people, maybe in the church, Lord, I hope not, how horrible that would be, but maybe even in the church, people who say, yes, 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 I believe God exists. But now, I don't know if he's a rewarder or not. That's where we are today. Anybody who approaches God, anybody who comes near to God, anybody who draws close to God must do these two things. First of all, God, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe you were real. Number two, God, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think you were a rewarder. Dolly Parton wrote a song. Please, I'm not going to play the video. Dolly's a sister. I believe that. I believe Dolly's had an experience. She writes gospel music. She thinks it's country. This is a song she wrote. These are the lyrics to a song Dolly Parton wrote. And they go like this. I am a seeker, a poor, sinful creature. There is none weaker than I am. I am a seeker, and you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down for me. Reach out and lead me, guide me, and keep me in the shelter of your care each day, because I am a seeker, and you are a keeper. You are the leader. Won't you show me the way? Now, some of the words don't fit with our modern theology of positive confession. So let's give Sister Dolly a break. These are the words of a seeker before Christ. The words go on. I am a vessel that's empty and useless, a bad seed that fell by the way. I am a loser that wants to be a winner, and you are my last hope. Don't turn me away. Reach out and lead me, guide me, and keep me in the shelter of your care each day, because I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are the leader. Won't you show me the way? I mean, the desperate cry of someone who diligently seeks after a God that they know exists and that they know is a rewarder. Just like he exists. The Message translation says anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. The Passion translation says we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. Now that word rewarder, if you have a Strong's Concordance on your iPad or your iPhone, you can hit that one word, rewarder, in Hebrews 11:6. And the Greek definition for the word rewarder, God is a rewarder, is the word remunerator. Now I know I've heard that word, it is an English word, but we don't use it in our common everyday language. So I did a little word search as to what remuneration is. I mean, God is a rewarder. The Greek said God is a remunerator. That's the exact word. And I found that remuneration is not compensation. I thought up until this, I thought, well, God's a rewarder. Yeah, he gives compensation. If you go seeking God, he will reward you. He will compensate you. He will recompense you. He will pay you for your seeking him. But remuneration is not compensation. Remuneration is what you are given over and above what you've earned. I did a Google search because I thought, I don't hear that word. I mean, I know it's an English word, but I don't hear it used often. So I did a Google search. I want to throw it up on the screen. This was from secular Google. recent examples on the web where this word remuneration is used, and it refers to a man named Bob Dudley. I don't know the man. Wish it did, because he made $118.6 million as CAO of BP. And excluding his remuneration for this year. So anybody who can, now somebody thinks this man's worth about $118 million a year. And so he got $118 million in annual salary, but that excludes his remuneration. So you can get what you've earned, you can get what's rightfully coming to you. The Bible teaches all that. A laborer is worthy of his hire, but then God is so good, he'll throw in over and above what you've earned just for seeking him. He is the God who's more than enough, who goes above and beyond, who does exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. Talking about taking the lid off, my faith in God just went up. But only two things required of us: believe God exists, and number two, which is equal to it, believe God is a rewarder. People struggle with that. Well, I don't really remember any time God's ever rewarded me. I mean, I'm all right with God, and he saved me, and he's met my needs, sometimes barely. But now, I don't know that I've ever really been rewarded by God. Now, I believe he exists, but I'm not sure if he's a rewarder. And whether it's spoken out loud or even consciously thought, some people believe that about God. Now, notice the emphasis here is not even on finding God. Now, we know we will find if we seek. Of course, that's established in Scripture. But in this particular verse, finding is not even an issue, not a subject, not the topic. Nowhere does God say in this verse, I'll reward you for finding. God says here, I'll reward you just for searching, just for looking, just for seeking. I'll throw a reward your way. And God's reward is put in place before anyone claims it. That's the way the reward system works. There's a reward already in a fund sitting on hold before anybody ever claims it. But now let me tell you the difference between God's reward system and the world's reward system. You'll see signs. Used to have them at the post office. I don't think they're there anymore. But the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Pictures of men, women. They are such fugitives. They're on the run from the law. And yet the FBI calls them one of the top 10 most wanted. And there's a reward. It's a financial reward. $10,000 for information that will lead to the arrest of the FBI's most wanted. And then more common, though, you can barely pass a telephone pole without seeing a poster of a lost dog. There'll be a picture of a pretty little puppy, and the words are usually, lost dog, reward offered. Might have a little answers to the name of Petunia or something. When I see that on a pole, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I know what it is to love a puppy. And we're good to our animals. The Bible says a good man treats his animals right. We don't even put ours on a diet. They have a buffet all the time. We got cats now, actually. And the vet tells Brenda all the time when she takes the cats in there, they're so overweight, you need to put them on a diet. And Brenda come home and tell me, and I say, keep the dish filled all the time. Let the cats enjoy life. But now, when you see a poster on a telephone pole, lost dog, reward offered, imagine this. Imagine you see a picture of Petunia, that pretty little dog, lost, and there's a reward. And you get motivated because there's a reward. You say, I'm going looking for that dog. And, a couple hours later, you go to the owner's house, the dog owner's house, knock on the door, and the dog owner comes to the house, and you say, I have been looking for your dog for the past 2 hours, and I'm here to collect the reward. And the dog owner will say, well, do you have my dog? No. I didn't find the dog, but I searched for 2 hours, and I'm here for the reward. The dog owner would say, well, our policy around here is no dog, no reward. In other words, the world's reward system works like this. You got to find it to get the reward. But God is so good, in this verse of scripture, he don't even talk about finding. He just said, I'll give you a reward if you just seek. You don't have to find. Don't worry about the finding. That's how good God is. You don't even have to find me quickly. If you'll just seek me, I'll give you the reward. And here's what we've got to adjust, and I'm guilty of this. Oh, like Dolly. Oh, God, I'm seeking to be better about this. I'm a seeker. Don't seek the blessing. Seek the blesser. Diligently seek the rewarder. Many people seek. Oh, we all know what seeking is like. But it's usually reserved and limited to the crises in our life. The time when everything we could possibly do to help our own self get out of this mess has failed. And as a last resort, we diligently seek. Oh, we seek. We know what it is to seek. But that's when we're seeking a blessing. There is a higher level in this revelation, in this verse, that we're to seek the one who gives all blessing, not the blessing itself. Don't fall in love with your blessing. Fall in love with the blesser. Don't chase the blessing. Chase the blesser, and the blessings will chase you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. If you're weak, don't seek strength. Seek God Almighty in strength. If you're in lack, don't seek provision. Seek the provider and know that he's a rewarder when you seek him. Don't just seek your healing. Seek the God who healeth thee, his word says. Don't seek promotion. Seek the God who wrote the book that said promotion does not come from the north or the south or the east or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. Seek that God and diligently seek him. If you're short on wisdom, don't just seek a word of wisdom. Seek an all-wise God. Diligently seek him and he will reward you. If your life is in a mess and things have been stolen from you and you need restoration, don't just seek restoration. Seek the God who restores all things. Don't seek the blessing. Seek the blesser. I'm guilty. But I can't think of a thing I need. Are there richer people than me? Yeah. Are there healthier people than me? Maybe. Are there younger people than me? Yes. Are there happier people than me? I don't think so. Are there any people more blessed than me? I don't think so. I don't need a thing. That's a good place to be. If I need anything at all, it's to be tighter with the blesser. I don't really need much he has in his hand. He's already blessed me with so much that I don't need anything but to be closer to the Master, who is the one who blesses us with all things. The Bible says this about seeking. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I just want you to say he's real near to us today. Have you been here all service long? Can't you tell he's close to us this morning? Seek him while he is near, and he will be found. The Bible says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then the Bible says this about a reward. The Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly or publicly. A lot of times there is a reward connected to what we do, especially in giving to the poor or alms to the needy. We're not to do it where we can be seen by men, because Jesus said, if you give anything to be seen by men, then that is only reward you're going to get. It's the men saw you. That's a fleeting, temporary benefit right there. I wouldn't even call that a perk. That's not even a quarter of a perk. That quickly goes away. Well, yeah, I did something great, and they all saw it. That's your reward right there. You get no. Talk about a rewarder. There are laws to God's reward system. And one is, many times when we obey God, we should do it secretly, especially when it comes to giving to the poor and the needy. Specifically, that one's mentioned in the Gospels. But God will do this. He will say, I saw what you did. No other man saw that. No man saw what you did, but I saw it. I saw your heart. I saw what you did. You did it secretly. But God is so good at rewarding. He's like, well, when I get through rewarding you, everybody's going to see the reward on your life. But the Bible talks about rewards in many cases, including the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, where Jesus said, listen, I never saw this until now. Jesus said this, behold, I come quickly. I thought it stopped there. I heard that. Behold, I come quickly. It don't stop there. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That's one of the last things he said in the book of Revelation. About the next thing is his second return. I mean, those were his parting words from the earth before he ascended into heaven. Even then he said, behold, I'm coming back quickly, and my reward is with me. This phrase, I want to address this because there are references in the scripture. Great is your reward in heaven. We need to talk about that. Jesus said it. Got to be true. We're going to have to deal with it. Great is your reward in heaven. I have no problem with it. I'm glad. I know heaven is going to be filled with reward. It is the ultimate reward. Heaven. But I need to make this distinction. Even though Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven, and we believe it and we receive it, not going to argue about it, we already know it, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to benefit from God's rewards. Psalm 27 and 13, David said this, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Now, it didn't say arrogance or cockiness. It really means your faith and your trust in God. Your confidence has a great reward. Don't minimize it. Don't throw your confidence. Don't overlook the importance of strong trust and faith and confidence in God, because that's a great reward in that. And I thought about little David and how important confidence is. Now, here's little David. He, just a little boy, all he was good for at that age, or daddy thought so, was going out there and tend to the sheep in the field. Now, your older brothers, they're bigger, stronger, tougher. Some of them ready for war. They're off to the battlefield right now. But you little boy, go out there and take care of your daddy's sheep. So that was all David was good for in the eyes of many people at his age. But while he was out there being faithful, keeping the sheep, a lion came up out of the woods and tried to hurt his sheep, and with his bare hands, he killed a lion. Later, a bear came up to try to kill some of the sheep. David killed the bear, and while he's out there, he's just writing songs and singing psalms like we do today. Some that he wrote thousands of years ago. We still sing today in our church. And then the day came when his daddy said, son, I want you to take some food supplies to your older brothers. They're at the front of the battle down there. You be careful, boy, but go to the valley. You'll see it all. The enemy's over there. And our people are on this side. You sneak close enough to give some rations to your brothers. Come on back home. David goes out there and he sees Goliath. He sees that giant of a man over 9 feet tall and standing there in the middle of the valley, and the Philistines, the enemy army behind him over on that mountain, him standing down there in the valley looking up at God's people. They're afraid and trembling in their boots and afraid for their lives. And this giant evil Goliath says, all you of Israel, send me your best man out here to fight me. And they were so terrorized by that. And so they were cowering down. Little David shows up with a sack lunch for his brothers. And David says, why y'all are so afraid? Y'all are trembling. You're so afraid. What's up with all this? And I said, look down there. David, look, there's that giant Goliath down there, cussing and fuming probably. That's Sunday morning. I won't tell you what he might be saying. And little David said, how long, talk about confidence, how long are y'all going to walk around and tiptoe around this uncircumcised Philistine? I thought it was probably a slur back then. Call him uncircumcised. And David said, I'll go up against him. No, you can't do it. No, I killed a bear with my hands. I killed a little. God's prepared me. And I'll go up. Send me out there. And the king even got involved. King Saul. And Saul said, no, you can't go out there. I cannot let this happen to a little Israeli boy. I'm not going to let you go. And David told the king how the favor of God had been on him all of his life. He said, I'm up for this, not in my own strength, but with God's strength. I'm going to kill that giant. So the king said, well, if you're going to do it, here's some armor and here's a sword. And cover yourself, boy, and God bless you. And then David did this, took a few steps with that heavy armor, and he finally said, I cannot fight with these weapons. And here's what he said, because I have not tested them. So he chose something that had worked for him, a slingshot. and some smooth stones. And here's little David, without any armor, no protection at all, walks up to that giant and looks up like that. And Goliath was so furious and angry, he said this, you can read about it in Scripture. The giant said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? Now, if you could imagine that scenario, if it had been me, or maybe you, little David, and that giant breathing down my neck, toe-to-toe, face-to-face with this giant, and he said, am I a dog? I would have probably said, oh, no, sir, Mr. Goliath, I never called you a dog. No, sir, that is fake news. That is an alternate reality. I never, Mr. Goliath, sir, never have I called you a dog. But the level of confidence, don't cast your confidence away. There's a great reward if you hold on to you. David's level of confidence was so strong that instead of saying, oh, I apologize, Mr. Goliath, no, you must have misunderstood somebody saying something not true. I never called you a dog, sir. No. David said, you listen to me. You see these buzzards flying around and that rabid wolf over there? I'm getting ready to feed your carcass to them because I'm going to cut off your head and let the foul birds of the air and the beast of the field eat your dead corpse. I'm getting ready to do it right now. Because, David said, you've come to me with your spear and your shield and your sword, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord God. And before this day is over, the whole world will know there is a God. Whew. David got a reward for that one. Not just killing the giant, but the king said, marry my daughter. And you ain't gonna ever have to pay taxes. Whew. Talk about delivering on a reward, but David stood up with confidence. David wasn't the biggest or the strongest or the most qualified. So how did he make it to the palace? It was because the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, constantly seeking God, constantly writing praise songs, and constantly, while nobody but sheep could hear him, he would sing love songs to God. Not to be heard by anybody. So imagine the reward that came with, ain't nobody hearing me praise God but God. And he sees in secret and he rewards you openly. When we diligently seek the Lord, God takes us places where our natural ability could never have taken us. But without this confidence, if we don't acknowledge God as a rewarder, we won't expect his goodness. I think that's why many times miracles pass right by us, because we're not expecting the goodness of God. David, that same little boy, wrote the words, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he said, I don't even have to think about whether I'm going to the temple for worship or not. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not leaving that place. But when we don't seek God, I'm challenging you. Here's a challenge right now. Starting immediately, and especially when you wake up in the morning, do something. Take a moment. Take a few minutes, take an hour if you're that slow. That can liberate some people, because some people think, I ain't no use for me to see God. I don't have an hour. Everybody's saying an hour. I'm not even going to get started because I know. I don't know. You know, Oh, the Lord might lead you to an hour. But don't let the devil steal a reward from you just because of a box. Somebody wants to keep you. I mean, take the lid off that box. But if we don't seek God, we're showing our self-reliance. We're saying, God, I've got today covered. I can do it on my own today. Thank you very much. Oh, please, don't fail in seeking God. David said it this way, early will I seek him. Oh, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. So do it early in the day. Ask the blessing of the Lord to fall on your day, not just your life in general, but on the very day you began seeking him. And then when we diligently seek the Lord, we have the creator of the universe breathing in our direction. He said, those who diligently seek me, those who consider it a vital necessity to seek me, I am a rewarder. They will know me as the rewarder. Imagine what your day, your life would be like with the creator of the universe breathing in your direction. God is saying to seekers this morning, let me assure you, a reward is coming.